Tabernacle family. Happy Sunday, everybody. Wow, the 9 o'clock service was more lively and you got more sleep. What's going on out there? Good morning. Who's excited to be in the house of God this morning? Who was here last night? Yes, boy, did we have an amazing time in Jesus, such an amazing time in Jesus that we're going to do it again tonight. Hallelujah. 6 o'clock tonight, we will again have Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. here ministering with us. He's also here for this service. And you just need to make sure that you come out tonight. If you had plans, cancel them. Get to the house of God. The power of God is here. God is alive and moving in this place, and you do not want to miss it. He has something for you. So, and I have some announcements for you. We have, many of you may know, but many of you may not, that we have a really cool thing called the Connect Room. If you have never gotten plugged in here, if today's your first day, or if you've been here for 10 years, but you still haven't gotten connected with other people or gotten to know us, we want to get to know you. So we have a reception room after the 9 and 11 services every single Sunday with some coffee and some snacks and some family from the church that are hanging out in there and that want to get to know you. But you got to make the move. You're the one that has to actually walk over there and go to the Connect Room. So please join us in the Connect Room on Sundays after service. And from there, we want to help you to get further acquainted with us and learn about this church and about God and yourself. And so we have the Discover classes, which are, it's a 4-week class. That's all it is. A new one starting next week. And it is just for you to discover about yourself, about God, and about this church. And so we encourage you to do that. And in that class, you will learn those things. You'll make new friends and you'll find out all about what's going on around here. And so the next step in that process is our classes during the week. And we have Rock Solid Faith every Tuesday night, every Wednesday morning, every Thursday night for you to grow in your relationship with God. You want to get out to the house of God, not just on Sundays, but during the week too, so you can build your faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and we are teaching the word. So get to the classes. We have a new class starting on June 15th on Tuesday nights at 7 o'clock. And this class is for those who have graduated from Rock Solid Faith. This is a leadership class. Now, don't get scared by that. It doesn't mean you have to be called into leadership in the church in order to take the class. It's a really great foundational class that teaches leadership principles that are going to help you to be a better leader in your family, in your home, in your workplace, or maybe in the church. Maybe God has called you to leadership in the church. But those classes start on June 15th, so mark your calendar and come out to those leadership classes. Next week, we have our bishop in town. Who's excited to have our bishop here to minister with us next week? So make sure that you are here in the house next week to hear Bishop Thomas and that we honor him as our spiritual leader over our house. And I'm going to invite Pastor Rhonda up to pray and open the service.
It's so awesome to be back in the house and home with our family. Pastor Spencer is actually preaching at our Mansfield campus today, so he got the opportunity to go down and bless them, so that's where he'll be at. Awesome. She's good. She's with it. So we are going to open the service in prayer and get ready to enter in. Man, first service was absolutely awesome, incredible. I love getting to the house of God. There's no place I'd rather be than the house of God. And even tonight at 6 o'clock, listen, what else are you going to do? Sit around, watch TV? It's rainy and cold outside. It's perfect. You have no excuse but to stay home and watch TV. That's boring and terrible. Tonight at 6 o'clock, be out for service and join us. So let's just pray. Stand to your feet this morning. Today is Memorial Day, and we want to honor and remember all of our veterans that have served so that we can live in freedom in this beautiful country. So let's just give a hand to all of those veterans that served. We remember the price that was paid for our freedom, and we're so thankful for it, especially in today, in the society that we're living in. We're very thankful for our freedom. So let's just pray and thank God, the giver of our spiritual freedom. Amen. Jesus, we just love you so much. We love that we get to come into your presence. We love that we get to come to your house and freely and openly worship you. And we get to encounter you, and we get to come into the throne room where your power and your presence is. We just love you, Jesus. You are so good and you are so awesome. Your power is limitless. There is nothing difficult for you. There is nothing impossible for you. God, we come to you today with everything. With everything, and we just put it in your hands. We place it before you, God, and we know that your power and your presence can change everything. It can revive even the things that we think are dead and gone. It can revive and restore relationship. It can bring healing to our bodies, peace to our minds, joy. Father God, break bondages and addictions. Whatever we have need of, you are the God that supplies all of our needs, not small, but according to your riches and glory. So God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven today, right now in our lives. We believe, God. We believe, we believe, we believe in your precious name. Amen.
We're ready to praise God this morning. Hallelujah. We welcome you to come up front and enjoy some praise and worship.
You're the beautiful one. We love you. As I bless your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship. As I bless your holy name, you deserve the glory and the honor. I lift my hands in worship. As I bless your holy name, you deserve the glory. As I bless your holy name, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no one else like you, there is no one else like you, for you are great, you do miracles so great, there is no
worship. love and his praise. You know, we're entering in this time of the service that is our tithe and offering, and this continues to be our praise and our worship before the Lord. The scripture God gave me is from Hebrews 4, verse 2. And I've preached this message, and it's so in my spirit. But I want to share it with you today in the context of our giving and our tithes and our offerings. Hebrews 4, verse 2 says, they all sat in the same congregation. They all heard the same message. They heard the same thing spoken. But to some, it did not profit them at all. And I pray today, that's none of us. I want every word from God to profit and benefit my life. But there's a key in that scripture. It goes on to say that it profited them nothing because it was not combined with faith. We must combine the word of God with faith, which is in action. And in our giving, we've got to combine the word of hearing it with our own action. You see, you can sit here and listen to me every single week, share scriptures and testimonies about giving and tithes and offerings, and to some people, it's going to profit nothing. And I know that is not anybody in this house. I speak and declare over every single one of you that it will be combined with faith and it will produce in your life. Man, I never want to be one that sits and hears the word of God and walk away and have it profit me nothing. That is not God's desire for our lives. His desire is, it says he desires to prosper. He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. He wants his word to prosper your life. So we must combine it. The only way to do it is to combine it with faith, which is action. And man, there is no greater time to put our faith in Christ with our finances. We need to move our money out of this natural realm that is unstable, that is up and down. And man, if your money is only secure in this natural realm, well, you got something to fear. But when you have it put in the hands of a supernatural God, you have no fear of tomorrow. While everybody else is walking in famine, you're going to walk in blessing. He'll bring ravens to bring you food. If he has to, he'll pull a coin out of a fish's mouth to take care of you. The children of God are blessed and prosperous when we obey and we combine his word with faith. So today, this morning, I challenge you to be a tither and a sower. Let's put faith with the word of God. And the most exciting part, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. I love this because the word of God isn't ink on a page. It is alive and active and producing in your life. So we say this every week, not as a religious thing. Man, you are prophesying over your money. You're speaking the word of God. This is the Bible that we're declaring. It's found in Deuteronomy chapter 28. You're prophesying over your money. And his word says that when it goes forth, it cannot return void. It cannot. So when you're declaring this and giving today, you're prophesying over your money. And it has to perform. You can expect promotion, increase, witty inventions, jobs, entrepreneur, starting your own business, whatever it is, increase, increase, increase. You can expect that. And it's not a bad thing to expect it. He wants you to expect it. He wants you to declare his word. So as we quote this morning, we're prophesying. I want you to get an expectation in your spirit. Get excited about your giving because you're moving it out of this natural realm and you're putting it in the hands of a supernatural God. And it performs when it is in the kingdom. It produces when it is in the kingdom. Amen. It says, Deuteronomy 28, if I obey, then I am blessed going in. Child of God, and I'm blessed. I'm in the house today, Brother Ted and Carolyn. Not letting you out of this. You're probably going to have to come up anyway, so come on up with your husband. Come on. Brother Ted and Carolyn. And I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm just going to let them speak what the Lord has given them.
Praise the Lord. We're so happy to be with you, and I'm so blessed to have my wife with me. You know, we get to travel together, which is a blessing. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to have to travel so often as all we do. We're gone all the time. If, you know, I had to leave my family home and my children, my beautiful children, my beautiful wife. And I'm so glad that God has opened the doors that we can travel together. She's anointed. God's been using her to speak, to write, to preach. And it makes a difference to have an anointed wife. Hallelujah. So I'm so thankful for my wife, Carolyn. She'll greet you in just a moment. She's got a brand new book that's out, and many of you have it already. If you don't, it's so powerful. She'll tell you a little bit more, and then, of course, share with you a little bit about our new magazine, and we got another one coming out very shortly. But would you just put your hands together? Welcome my wife, Carolyn.
This was not in the plan of today. No, I'm only going to be up here for a minute. I'm so excited that you guys are here. Welcome. You're not leaving the same. Just like Pastor Rhonda, listen, she is one of my, I just posted her on Instagram saying she's one of my favorite people in the world. But she is. You have to get around people that make your faith go higher. Our faith is never going to be capped while we're here on earth. We need to get around people that stir our faith to go to new levels because we are victorious. You know, I was writing our Miracle Word Kids Bible study that we put out every Wednesday. I was writing it yesterday because I'm not quite sure what's happening in New York with the weather right now. It's 50 degrees. This is quite insane. And so I was stuck in my hotel room yesterday, and I was writing this for the kids, and I was writing it on authority. And when I was writing it, I was reading in Mark 1, I believe it was 21 through 28, where Jesus, you know, the demon-possessed person approaches Jesus. And I got to thinking, like, how much power Jesus had that the demon had to make himself known. Nobody asked. Nobody else knew what was going on. He had to speak out and acknowledge the power that was in Jesus. And so I got to thinking when I was writing authority for the kids, I was like, that's like what we have to have. We have to have that same power inside of us that is known to the world. What, you know, we're taking over. They're not taking over. We're taking over. And so I was thinking, I wrote it down on my phone. I don't remember exactly how. Actually, can you hand me my phone really quick? I'm sorry. It's right under my Bible. Because this is what happens. I do things for other stuff that I'm doing, and then I take notes, and I'm like, I'm going to go back later and work on this, maybe for a broadcast or something. But I had this thought when I was doing Mark 1 yesterday, where I wrote down just a quick jot for me, but it said, it seems like in Bible times, demon possession was more commonly known because you hear about a lot of the stories. But then I got to thinking, maybe it was more apparent because the demons opposed Jesus's ministry. So what's opposing you? Do you have the ministry of Jesus inside of you? Do you have that power inside of you where demons are going to speak out, where, you know, healing has to come and disease has to leave out the back door? Fear, depression, anxiety, stress. We're not supposed to live like that. You can take that whole saying, hot mess. Jesus loves this hot mess. He loves you, but he doesn't want to keep you a hot mess. You're not supposed to be a Christian looking like a hot mess. And so today, we're going to build our faith. The way you came in is not how you're leaving, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank God I'm not married to a hot mess. Hallelujah. And she didn't get a chance to mention it, but, yeah, thank God. And she didn't get a chance to mention it, but it's just what she was talking about. The power of your words, the power of your confession, the power of what's in you. If you didn't get a chance to grab this book, Lines, that she released, Confessions That Create Boundaries That Your Enemy Cannot Cross. And it's time to use the power of our words the way God created us to do. And we are anointed to speak by faith. Can you say amen? And of course, as I mentioned last night, this is the brand new one on a complete guide to biblical fasting. And that'll bless you as well. I wanted to say, if you didn't grab a copy of our latest magazine, they're free back on the table. And if you'd like to receive them quarterly, just sign up. You can do it at the table or on your phone on our website. And we'll get this. You got a summer edition getting ready to drop very soon. And we're very excited about that with some new announcements as well. And so stop back there before you leave, and you'll be able to see Zach. But, you know, Zach's also going to be in the parking lot. He has discounted books in his trunk of his car if you'd like to get them that way, too. He found a way to get a cut, so I don't know how he did that. It's so wonderful to see every one of you today, those of you that are here. And to those watching online, we love you. I said at the first service last night, we had 20 people around that drive-in from Syracuse to be a part of the meeting. People came in from State College, people from out of town. And, of course, we have our Crossroads community family in the house all the way from Fitchburg, Massachusetts. And today in the service, we have Miss Leticia Rosado is in the house and her father. Dios te bendiga, hermano. Good to see you. Amen. Bienvenido a su tabernáculo. Welcome to his tabernacle. Hallelujah. And we're so happy to have you. And they left at what time this morning? 5 a.m. just to make it in for this service today. Would you put your hands together and welcome Miss Letty and her father and the family. The daughters are here too. So what do we got? All in total, 8 people from Crossroads. A whole row. My God. And for those of you that don't know, last night, Pastor Spencer made an announcement that we're coming back tonight at 6 p.m., and it's going to be good. We're going to have a Holy Ghost blowout tonight, and I got my faith set. I can't wait. So we're going to let you go home, get something to eat, and come back and be a part of what God's doing. I'm so very excited. I'll say this, because this is tomorrow. I'm not going to name any names. But I don't feel like certain vice presidents of the United States, I won't name any names, but certain vice presidents that are just calling this a long weekend. This is not just a long weekend. We're thankful for the men and women who have given their life for the United States of America. We're thankful for every soldier, every person that's gone overseas, those that have literally shed their blood so that we could have a nation that lives in freedom. Hallelujah. We enjoy freedoms that many other nations are not enjoying currently, and we thank God for men and women that are so faithful. I think to myself, people that are willing to literally leave their families behind. You know, this hits home because really where I spent the majority of the beginning of my ministry on staff with my uncle, Pastor Terry Shuttlesworth in Virginia Beach, that's right there near, of course, you know, Norfolk, Virginia. That's the largest naval base in the world. There's no naval base larger in the whole world. I've walked through. It's like a city. They've got their own Walmart and restaurants and everything. If you've ever gone on a battleship or a carrier, they're massive, the submarines. And so many of the men in our church were in the Navy. We had many, many Navy families in our church. And so you grow to understand and love those who have made the sacrifice. I think about these men that get sent out and they go out on tour and they're gone sometimes 9, 10, 11 months at a time before they're back on shore duty again. And I'll tell you, it is a sacrifice. And I don't take it lightly, and I know you don't either. We love this nation. We love America. We believe God has a plan to bless America. God's not finished with America yet. Hallelujah. Don't believe these doom and gloom prophets say, oh, God's judging America. No, he's not. The blessing of God is still available in America. And as long as the church is here praying and pressing in, the devil can't have America in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? And not only has God not given up on America, we've not given up on America. I'm standing with my father and declaring, America shall be saved in Jesus' name. How many believe it? Clap your hands if you do. I appreciate and thank you again to this worship team who's done such a phenomenal job. Every single time we come, it's just better, better, better. You're anointed. We thank God for all of you. Proverbs chapter 18, in the time we have, I felt this jump up in my spirit today because one of the things that we see happening throughout the world, and if you miss first service, you're going to just have to go back and watch the stream or something, because this will not be the same word as they heard or received in the first service, but you need to go back and hear what the Lord had for us in the first. But Proverbs 18, one of the things I'm realizing is that in this generation and around this nation and around our culture, it's common to simply just say what you feel. Just say what you feel. You know what always makes me laugh is when, especially if Christians say this. Have you ever heard it? Christians will say, well, you know what? If you're trying to change me, that means you don't like the real me. You ever have people give that kind of, you don't like me for me? I speak my mind. That's just who I am. And if you don't like it, you don't love me for me. You have to understand that's who I am. And see, it's interesting because that's a worldly point of view. Because notice, the scriptural point of view is we're not trying to identify with our natural man anymore. We're trying to identify with the personality traits of Jesus Christ. We call those the fruit of the Spirit. And so that means that, and by the way, all of the fruit of the Spirit are actions and decisions. They're not feelings. Amen. They're not feelings. They're not just something that rises up as emotions. And they're not based on events. So we talk about love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, self-control. We look at those things and say, yeah, love's a feeling. Joy is a feeling. Peace is a feeling. But not in the kingdom. The fruit of the Spirit are choices and actions. And you know that. How many in this church have had to make a choice to walk in love towards somebody? You didn't feel like doing it. You felt like smacking somebody, but you walked in love anyway. Amen. And that's a level of maturity. It takes maturity to walk in love when you don't feel like it. To have joy when there's nothing to be joyful about. To have peace in the midst of a storm. Those things are choices. And we're given the ability to make those choices by the Holy Ghost. That's how you know it's not natural, it's supernatural. You know, preaching the fruit of the Spirit's not a self-help gospel. You know, people say, you start talking about self-control, and people go, oh, that's a self-help gospel. No, no, no. You can't have self-control without the Holy Ghost. You can't have it. In fact, James said, the brother of Jesus, he said that the tongue is an unruly evil that no man can tame. No man can tame. So who tames it? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And that's the key. Self-control is not in and of yourself. It is yourself empowered by the Holy Ghost. And that's the thing. We have a tendency in our generation to just say what we think or say how we feel and to go about the let the culture guide us. Sometimes we let the culture guide us. Well, this is what people are saying in the culture. And you know what? I feel that way too. We've gotten to the place in America sometimes where feelings have more precedent than facts do. And people are making decisions on how they feel, not what the facts actually say. But Christians are not to be led that way. We're supposed to live by principle. And the Bible tells us that we have the ability by the Holy Ghost to not only say what's right, but to align our words with God's word until our words start producing fruit in the supernatural and natural realm. And that's why I had you turn to Proverbs 18, because there's a very powerful verse here where the Bible says in the 21st verse, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruits. They'll experience the reality of what they declare, what they say, what they confess. Death and life. The thing is, we've always looked at that verse and acted like, see, there's death and life in your mouth. You got to choose to speak life. Don't speak death. But in some instances, you want to speak death. God gave you the ability to speak death. You don't speak life to cancer cells. You speak death to them. You don't speak a life to a marriage that's dissolving and being destroyed and falling apart. You speak death to that situation and say, my marriage will flourish in Jesus' name. And so there's certain things that you've got to curse by the power of God. You know, you take authority over the attacks of the devil. You speak against them. You command them to get out of your way by the power of God. And that's the kind of man Jesus was. Where the point where the disciples were so freaked out by it, they said, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Because Jesus wasn't going to put up with anything, even from some wind and waves. Forget people, forget demons, forget sickness. He said, even wind and waves aren't going to harass me. Even wind and waves aren't going to stand against my ministry. So Jesus stood up and he rebuked the wind. And he calmed the waves. Can you catch this now? This is a principle I want you to get in your notes. Get it in your spirit. Did you ever wonder why that Jesus didn't rebuke the waves? See, because the waves were not the thing that the devil was using. It was a demonic wind. Oh, hallelujah. And the demonic wind was stirring up the waves. Look at this now. If Jesus had just dealt with the waves, that's just the effect. Jesus went to the root. And here's what we've got in our generation is that everybody's trying to treat the symptoms and nobody wants to go to the root. Instead of coming to the fact that, look at depression, look at spirit of heaviness. Oh no, it's not a spirit, brother. It's a chemical imbalance. We just need to get you some antidepressants. We just need to get you some pills. We just need to get you some. And the thing is that you can zombify a person. You can put a person where you cause their symptoms to subside for a while through drugs and chemicals. But you're not touching the root of the cause. I would rather pull it out at the root and not have to medicate myself because I'm going to deal with the cause, not the effect. Jesus didn't rebuke the waves. You know why? God created the seas. You don't have to rebuke what God created. You rebuke what the devil sends to harass and manipulate what God's created. And here's the thing people don't catch or realize is that the devil will try to operate in such a way that he will take something good that God created and twist it into something that's evil. Oh, hallelujah. I could preach this thing for a while. Let me tell you something. You look at our generation, it was God, by the way, who created sex. Wasn't the devil, but the devil comes in with his twisting and his harassment and tries to come in and take what was good and what God created and turn it to become evil and turn it to become wicked. And it's not the thing that's wrong. It's the way the devil tries to use it that is wrong. And so you understand that it is the devil who twists the creation of God to make it evil. Look in the garden. God created the fruit. It wasn't the fruit that was evil. It's what the devil said about God's word that was evil. It was the deception that Satan brought to Eve's mind. And he took God's good word, but he twisted and harassed it. And he said, did God really say? Notice the first words on record from the devil. Did God really say? He's still doing the same thing today. You're standing believing for a healing. Did God really say he'd heal everyone? Did God really say that it's for every individual? Or does he sovereignly pick and choose those that he'll touch and heal? Or is it something that he stopped doing after the early church and the last apostle died? And literally the devil will take something good like healing. He doesn't mind if you believe in healing as long as you don't expect God to heal you. Oh, yeah. Let me get on that for a minute because, see, the devil doesn't mind in what you believe in as long as you don't believe in it to the degree that you appropriate it to your own life. It doesn't matter if you believe God's good as long as you don't believe he'd be good to you. It doesn't matter if you believe he's a healer as long as you don't believe he'll heal you. It doesn't matter if you believe in speaking in tongues that it still exists as long as you don't speak in them. It doesn't matter if you believe in prayer as long as you don't pray. See, the devil doesn't care if you believe it. He just doesn't want you to live it and take the actions of it. But that's where we got to get bigger than the harassment and deception of the devil and declare, I've got the power of God on the inside of me and I will have what God said is mine. And this verse is so powerful, even though I know it's in this section of poetry in the Bible. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus operated by the power of the tongue. God operated by the power of the tongue. The prophets in the Old Testament operated by the power of the tongue. The apostles in the New Testament operated by the power of the tongue. Think about it. Think about it. Even the Antichrist will try to twist and use the power of the tongue. He will claim to be what he is not and deceive many. With what? The power of the tongue. Oh, man. I could preach this one. Because once you recognize that the same power that was in God's mouth when he created is the same power that's in your mouth as you create. Some people don't recognize, I could speak myself into the future. I can walk in the things God's created for me, and nothing can hold me back. I can literally build and be the architect of the future by saying what God said. When I was a youth pastor, I used to teach my young people. I like to give them vivid word pictures so that they could see the future. I'd say, you know, I would teach on the power of your words. And the thing I used to say to my young people was this: you can literally speak yourself into a suite at the Ritz-Carlton, or you can speak yourself into a truck stop bathroom. The choice is yours, because your words are going out ahead of you and creating a future that you will walk in, that you will endure. And so I made up my mind. I'm not going to say what the culture says. I'm not going to say what the world is saying. I'm not going to say what unbelievers are declaring. I won't say and repeat what I heard on CNN and Fox News. I'm not going to repeat what I heard some politician say or some specialist say. I will say what the Word of God says. If God said it, I'm going to say it too. If he said it, I'm going to say it too. If he said it, I'm going to say it too. I'll say it until I see it. I'll say it until I see it. I'll say it until I see it. Somebody shout, say it till you see it. I'll say that again. Say it until you see it. When I was leaving, one of the things that my uncle gave me was a Bible. I'll never forget it. The phrases that he wrote inside struck me. And he gave me this Bible, and on the inside he wrote. I opened it up and read it. And this was his advice from preacher to younger preacher. He said, preach it till you feel it, then taste and see it. Preach it till you feel it, then taste and see it. Preach it till you feel it, then taste and see it. See, the reason, that sounds emotional. That sounds flesh-based. No, because see, the thing is, there will be times throughout your whole life where you don't feel like saying what God said. You don't feel like declaring what the Word said. You know how much easier it is to just say what you feel like saying? You know how much easier it is just say what everybody else is saying? Who wants to swim upstream? Who wants to have 90 people saying, oh, it's going to be rough this year. Oh, we're going to have to, oh, this is the problem. Oh, you can, and then swim up, bumping shoulders with every person. It's going to be the best year I've ever had. I'll not suffer what the world suffers. I'm not going to struggle like the world struggle. And you're bumping shoulders and people throwing you mad looks and people trying to guilt you out of believing what you believe. Oh, do you really believe? Oh, you must be special. You must be on another level. I am, because the Word of God sets me on another level. So you're bumping shoulders the whole time. People are headed that way, but I'm swimming toward the blessing. Everybody else is headed towards decrease. I'm moving towards increase, and I'm going to speak it till I feel it. Then I'll taste and see it, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Somebody shout, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures. Not till the last apostle died. Forever. I said forever. His mercies are new every morning. I always tell people, man, if you're having a hard one, enemies attacking you, people always say, what should I do, brother? Enemies coming after me. Enemies attacking me. You know what I tell them? Go to sleep. You know why? Everything changes in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. His mercies are new every... Though the outward man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. When you wake up, your spirit man is new. When you wake up, your mercies are new. When you wake up, your joy is new. He said, give us this day our daily your bread is new. When you wake up in the morning, God's got everything new prepared for you. The bakery of heaven has been cooking all night, baby. And when you wake up in the morning, there's a fresh loaf for Sunday and a fresh loaf for Monday and a fresh loaf for Tuesday. You ought to go to sleep and wake up on another level. Peter was about to die in a jail cell. They had captured him. When they found out, it pleased the Jews when they captured another Christian and murdered him. They said, ooh, that made the Jews happy. Let's get us another one. Let's shoot a little higher. Let's go for a popular Christian. Grab Peter. Grabbed up Peter, threw him in a jail cell, and wanted to make sure he wouldn't escape. So they stuck him between two guards. Here he is in a jail cell. Church is praying for him. Oh, Lord, set him free. Set him free. It makes me laugh because you start to wonder. Of course, we know God answered their prayers, but like, it's funny when people pray for stuff and it takes place and they don't even believe it. Literally, that's what they're praying for. And then Peter gets let go out of prison, walks all the way to the house where they're praying for him, knocks on the door. The girl comes up, oh, my God, it's Peter. She runs back. Peter's at the door. It's not Peter. He's in jail. It's probably his angel. All right, his angel just stopped by for a midnight snack. Hey, what are you doing here? Well, I was going to go deliver Peter from jail, but I got a little hungry on the way. I wonder if y'all had anything. Y'all making pancakes tonight or what's going on? Doesn't even make sense. Why would his angel just show up to the house? The angel already been to the jail. And you think about this. If they just killed another Christian, and that was the pattern because it pleased the Jews, that's what they were planning for Peter. And so he's in there, and he's literally walking in a spirit of faith and a spirit of peace. You would have thought he'd been up all night praying in tongues and believing God would set him free. And when the angel comes into his cell, Peter is literally sound asleep between the guards. He's gone. And it blows my mind because when you realize he's just out, that shows you what a spirit of peace had come upon him. He wasn't up worried all night, wondering how he was going to make it. Oh, God, you got to deliver me from the hands of these evil men. They're trying to execute me. He wasn't praying like that. He was sleeping between the guards that were charged with keeping him from escaping. It's funny to me they put him between two guards in a jail cell. Apparently, these guys had a track record of getting out of jail. Watch specifically at midnight. That's when you guys need to be on guard, because at midnight, we've had issues where the jail shakes and every door comes open and every chain falls off. So they stuck him between two guards in a jail cell, make sure he wouldn't get out. Here's what I love. The devil can launch every attack against you he wants. He can try his best to secure you in bondage, to secure you in a place where he's sure you'll never get out. He can try to lock you up generationally. And what I did to your grandparents and your parents, I'll do to you. It runs through your family. You've got a generational curse. And he'll sit there and try to act like you'll never get out of this thing. And not only are you locked up, but you got safeguards around you so that you won't ever get out of bondage. But all it takes is that word. Notice what sent the angel. I feel the Holy Ghost. Notice what sent the angel. It was the word being prayed by the people in the house. By the power of their words, angels were released. By the power of their words, angels were released. We know this happens because if you go back to the Old Testament, Daniel was praying and speaking. And do you know it took the angel 21 days to get to him because there was a war going on in heaven and the heavenlies? But you know what the angel said? He said, from the first day you prayed, I was sent to you. That means Daniel's words released angelic help. The church's words released angelic help. And the angel, sent by their words, comes into the jail cell, finds Peter dead asleep. And he was so sound asleep. He wasn't just lightly sleeping. He was so sound asleep, the Bible says the angel had to strike him and wake him up. Hey, that's a jailbreak. Would you wake up? Peter's all groggy. Hey, I get 5 more minutes. He tried to hit the snooze button on the angel. 5 more minutes. Sitting there sleeping in the spirit of peace so soundly that the angel had to strike him. Get up. And then as they began to walk, oh, hallelujah, the doors opened before them. The angel didn't have to pull out a heaven's key and open the door. As they walked, the doors just opened in front of them. The gate to the city just opened in front of them. Because when the power of your words begins to activate, things have to open up for you supernaturally. Things have to change supernaturally. Things have to alter by the power of God's word and by the power of his will. Things have to change by the... This is it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Declare it with me. I'm going to eat the fruit of my faith-filled words. I tell you, all last year, God had me preaching one thing, really, one thing. He said, when you go to churches, just don't start with anything else. Don't even preach a message. Just give them this word from me. And you probably remember me doing it here. We turned to Isaiah 3. 10 and 11, and I read, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their deeds. Hallelujah. They will experience the fruit of their righteous actions. That's the key. That's what we're seeing here. They will eat the fruit. See, they will experience the reality of the things they've been saying. Pastor Cody and I were talking between services about people who, you know, I think the devil gets too much credit. Oftentimes, he just gets too much credit. Well, brother, that was the devil attacking. Many of the things we blame the devil for are things that literally bad seed actions have caused. Did you know everything you release from your life is a seed? Every word, every action. And we've known that since we were little kids, which is why they told us, if you want friends, be friendly. Remember hearing that? If you want to have friends, you got to be friendly. Well, what's that talking about? It's talking about that seed of friendliness is going to produce a harvest of friends. That's how it works. Do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. That seed time and harvest. Everything that leaves your life. See, every time we talk about seed, people think financial seed. We think, oh, that's when you sow. That's when you give an offering. But understand something. The Bible says in Galatians 6, whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, in fairness, that Galatians 6 context is financial giving, but it says whatsoever a man sows. So whatever you release into somebody else is going to be a harvest that comes back to you. Whatever you release is going to produce a harvest. Whatever you release is going to produce a harvest. So we can't be... It's funny, we can't be surprised when we've taken every wrong action and we're getting wrong harvest back. You say, oh, and then we go, oh, the devil's been attacking me. Can you imagine? That's as foolish as me doing this. When I get home, go over to have lunch with Pastor Cody, go out to the shed where the tools are at, pull up a hammer, lay it on the workbench, and just start hammering my thumb. Hammering it. And then go, oh, my God, devil's been attacking my thumb. Devil been coming, Pastor Mike, would you stand with me? The devil's just been attacking my thumb. And then Pastor Mike prays, because this is what happens in church. Pastor Mike prays, pray for that thumb, and Jesus, oh, I receive it, Pastor Mike, thank you so much. Then go right back to the shed with the hammer. Bam, bam. Oh, the devil's still attacking, Pastor Mike. He's still coming after. Oh, I don't, I'm going to preach this. You don't have to shout or run around the church, but we talk about he is my provider, and he is my increase, and he is the El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. And then we spend all the money we have, and then we don't save anything, and we don't tithe, and we don't want to give, and we sit around confessing he is good all the time, and all the time. Oh, come on, I'm preaching the real stuff here today. This right here is the meat for the ones. I'm not squirting milk into your mouth today. I'm giving you meat today. This is the kind of stuff that'll keep you blessed. This is the kind of stuff that'll cause you to overflow. And we say, oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you for my healing. I thank you that I walk in divine health. And then we pound Twinkies and carbs through the week. And we say, I don't understand why my blood sugar's so high. The devil been attacking me. It ain't the devil coming after you. It's been things that we're releasing from our life that are actions that have to change, because every seed produces a harvest. The devil don't have the power to take you out. It's seed time and harvest. And whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now, I'm not saying the devil doesn't attack. He does. But he gets far too much credit for things that are going on in people's lives. You know, brother, just pray for me. The devil's been attacking my marriage. No, you don't treat your wife right. I'll hit both sides. You don't treat your husband right. Did that for you, man. See how it came through? Huh? Devil's been attacking my marriage. I haven't slept together in 3 years. I don't feel like there's any intimacy. That's because there ain't. You sleep in separate rooms. You know, in order to have intimacy in the marriage, you got to be intimate. I'm helping people today, my God. I went from evangelistic pastoral in just 2.5 seconds. You understand what I'm saying? And so people say, oh, the devil's coming. He's not coming after. There's choices we got to make. I'll tell you this. I heard a pastor. A pastor came to me and said, a man came into his office for counseling. And the man came in by himself. And he said to the pastor, he said, Pastor, I need your help. I need you to give me advice. I don't love my wife anymore. He said, oh, really? You don't, huh? He said, no, I don't. I don't love her anymore. What should I do? You know what the pastor's response was? Love her. He said, no, you don't hear what I'm saying. I'm telling you that I don't love her anymore. I'm telling you, I'm not in love with her. I don't love her. What should I do with my life now? He said, go home and love her. Hey, what are you talking about? It's an action. It ain't a feeling. It's an action. For God so loved the world that he gave. Oh, I feel like preaching this today because all of your love will be shown in your actions. If you love, you'll do. If you love, you'll do. If you love, you'll speak. If you love, you'll spend. If you love, it will be seen by what you release from your life. Oh, I feel it. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Woo! Ha, 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 ha. Go home and love her. Well, I just don't feel joyful. What should I do? Go home and laugh. Go home and laugh for 30 minutes straight. Force yourself. I mean, make it as real as you can make it, baby. You don't feel like laughing. People think you're a mental case. Just sit out on your porch, you know, while the neighbor, laugh like you're taking over the world. Laugh like you're one of the villains in a Batman movie. People start ushering their kids inside. I don't know what's going on with him. I mean, go home and laugh. Oh, I've been attacked in my mind. I've been attacked in my emotions. I've been attacked. I got a spirit of heaviness. Go home and laugh it off. You know, it's funny. In this generation we live in now, everybody's so sensitive about their children. You ever notice that? It's everything. They're sensitive. We didn't have that growing up. I didn't have that. It was like, you know, you can't let my kid, you let my kid drink water out of the tap. You didn't give him a bottle of water. Do you know what's in the tap water? When I was a kid, we played ball outside all day, found a neighbor that had left their hose plugged in, turned it on, put our mouth to the copper, and sucked it out of the hose. Oh, get a little metal in you. It's good for you. Huh? And everything's so sensitive now. Listen, when I was growing up, our parents didn't know where we were half the day. We were playing ball all in their surrounding towns. Only way we knew to come home is everybody's dad or mom had a different whistle for their kid. And you hear it ringing out through the wood. And people say, ask my mom, I got to go to dinner. You just jog home. Now it's like every kid, there's kids on leashes at the mall. I've never seen anything like this in my life. You got kids being walked like puppies through the mall. You know why? People have lost the power of their words. All my dad used to have to do, many times he didn't even have to speak the word. He could just shoot me a look while I was sitting in church. I started repenting for sins I never even committed. I was like, Lord, for every bank I've robbed, God, every drug I've dealt. I'm like 7 years old. It was just the authority of that you carry. And see, let me tell you, the reason we're seeing this in some of our generation now is because parents have lost the authority of their word. We've been told you shouldn't be like that anymore. You can't, you need to be your kid's friend. And they've taught you, you got to be friends with everybody. You got to be your kid's best friend. Well, baby, if you're going to drink, I'd rather you have it do with mom and dad in the house. Have the party. We were at, my wife was at a mall, at a store checking out, and there was a little girl in a ballet Arena tutu. She was like 3 years old, and she was screaming and throwing a fit at the checkout line, because they'll get you at the checkout line. You ever been to like the TJ Maxx checkout line? And it's just a row of everything you don't need, but for some reason you want. It's like, an iPhone plug that'll plug in 52 iPhones at once. I need that. Grab that for the cart. Just put it all in the checkout line. And this girl was throwing a fit. Mommy, I want it. And she was trying to talk to her. We're not getting that today. We're not going to get that. Mommy's not buying that today. And she's still throwing a fit. I want it. Demon manifesting in a three-year-old girl in a tutu. And finally, her mom tried to lean down to tell her, like, baby, mommy's not getting that. And this girl hauled off and slapped her mom's face with the full force. My wife went into flashbacks like she was in the Vietnam War. Oh, my God, Jesus. Save the... Let me tell you something. I can't even imagine. I would not be standing here before you today. I can't even imagine, no matter what age. My dad would have been like Moses and just buried me in the sand and tell God I died. Lord, I don't know what happened to him. He's gone. You know, some of y'all grew up like this. You understand what I mean. It was a form of mental torture. And God help you if you live next to a willow tree and your parents are like, go pick your own switch. And you're like, not the willow, because those bad boys don't break. Some of y'all have heard me tell the story. I wasn't even a kid anymore. I was like 17. My dad picked me off the ground from mouthing off to my mom and walked me. I didn't know he had that kind of supernatural strength. My dad turned into Thanos in 1 minute. He was like, pulled out the infinity gauntlet, threw the stones in, and was like, walk me across the room, put me against the wall, and I felt that warm trickle down my leg. I thought, Jesus, save me now. And when he said to me, if you ever speak to my wife like that again, I was like, I thought she was my mom. Oh, God. Huh? It was like a whole nother level of authority was in the house. Oh, yeah. And see, you just the word. Just the word. See, here's the thing. We expect demons to listen to us. Our kids won't even listen. Oh, my God. I came to meddle on a Sunday morning. We're expecting demons to be cast out, and our kids won't even say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. But it's time to get authority back into the house and watch as the power of your words is performing on every level. You got to make up your mind. I refuse to walk through life without power and authority. I'm going to stand by the word of God, set my house in order, and have the victory that God said I can have. Somebody shout aloud, amen. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Get ready to pray for you. I feel the anointing here today. Somebody's going to another level. Things that have been harassing you for so long are getting ready to loose their grip in Jesus' name. The devil does not hold the power that he thinks he holds. And I'll tell you this, he doesn't hold the power that some Christians think he holds. I've heard pastors say this. We got to be careful, you know, because the devil, he's powerful. No, I don't know that. I don't know that. Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus said, all power is given unto me. All means all. All means all. This is very interesting. I looked that word all up in the Greek. You know what it means? All. It was deep. Shook me up to another level. Said, oh, all means all. All. It means all. All power is given unto me. And you know what he said? I give unto you power over all. And in fact, if you look at it in more modern translations, they didn't do it an exact job in the King James Version. They're two different Greek words. He said, I give unto you authority over all the power. That means now, after Jesus did what he did, stripped Satan of his power and then gave power to the church or authority and literally put us in a place to rule over the devil. Somebody declare it. I rule over the devil. That's right. That's why when you tell him to get out, he has to get out. You can't cast out devils if you don't rule over the devil. If you don't have authority to command, to bind and loose, then you're not truly ruling and reigning. But we're reigning with him. We're ruling with him. We're seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, which is why when we say to devils, come out in Jesus' name, they have to say, yes, sir, and run out of that body that they've been inhabiting. Why? Because there's power in your mouth. Somebody shout, power in my mouth. So when you begin to declare by faith, that's not just words, that's substance. There's substance coming out of your mouth. There's supernatural substance flowing out of your mouth. The word of God is a substance. It's a living and active substance. Read Hebrews 4 for yourself. The word, it's quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it reveals the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It's living. It's an active substance. That's why when Jesus spoke it, it could just travel wherever he sent it to go. Centurion's servant's house, Syrophoenician woman's daughter's house. Wherever he sent that word, it would just travel as a living substance. And when it showed up, it would get on the person and drive the devil out of them and drive sickness out of them and drive disease from their home. Because when he spoke the word, even demons had to say, yes, sir, and get out. Hallelujah. My wife was referencing that story in Mark chapter 1. I love it because Jesus didn't even pray long prayers. You know, we don't pray that the devil will leave. We cast him out. We cast him out. I love it. If you read that Mark chapter 1 passage, look what he said to the devil. Shut up and come out. As I'm not here to have a conversation with you. I'm here to cast you out. There's people negotiating with devils. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's people that are literally trying to make deals, you know, trying to actually negotiate in the spirit realm. Jesus said, shut up and come out. I don't have to compromise with you. I don't have to make a deal with you. I don't have to sit around and lay things down to you and say, well, all right, I'll do that if you'll come out. No, I've got authority over all the power of the devil. Shut up and come out. Somebody shout, shut up and come out. And when you get it, that power's on the inside of you today, right now. I said, right now. See, we're going to stop praying about some stuff. We're just going to start pointing at it and say, shut up and come out in Jesus' name. Stuff been harassing your family for so long, coming against your children, coming against your mind, coming against your finances, coming against your body. Shut up and come out in Jesus' name. And watch God move. Watch God move. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Let me show you something powerful. People never catch this, but if you read this story in another gospel, the centurion servant, you know what's so powerful about it? Because one of the things he says to Jesus is he says, I'm also a man of authority. That's how he understood Jesus' authority. Read it from another gospel that's not Matthew. You know what happens? We don't catch this until we see it like this. The centurion himself didn't even come to Jesus. Go read it in Luke. He sent his servants to ask Jesus. The natural power of the word went out and met the supernatural power of the word. See, his was just a type and a shadow of what Jesus was about to do. He said, catch this. I don't even have to come unto you. See, we read the story in Matthew, and it sounds like the centurion is standing there saying, Jesus, I don't. When I tell them to go, they go. When I tell them to come, they come. If you read Luke's more full explanation, Luke was a doctor, which is why his gospel is so long. Just kept writing and writing and writing and writing. And he investigated. Luke investigated everything. And he has one of the most descriptive gospels that there is, if you read Luke. That's why Acts is the way it is. Luke wrote it, and it's so descriptive because he investigated everything that was going on and wrote about it. And he brings this out, and he says, and the centurion sent Jewish leaders. Oh, man. And the Jewish leaders came to Jesus and said, the centurion's servant is sick, and he gives you this message. See, I know I'm a man of authority. I sent these men to come speak to you. And that's what I understand about you, Jesus, is the same power in my words in the natural is the same power in your words in the supernatural. So speak the word only, and my servant shall be made whole. Somebody throw up your hands and say, speak the word only. Declare it, speak the word only. Speak the word only. That's it. That's the key. We're going to speak the word only. I'll tell you what, I feel the anointing here today. I'm not even going to lay hands on people this morning. I'm going to speak the word only. And people, we've been going through things, and the devil tried to attack in 2020. But I'll tell you, he's loosing his grip, because we're going to speak the word against every harassment, against every attack, against every wicked plot and plan that's been launched against your family. And today we're going to speak the word only. And everything has to let go of what was trying to come upon you, and freedom's coming to God's people. Somebody shout amen. Stand on your feet all over this house. I feel it right now. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Man, I would not miss tonight if I were you. I'm just telling you, I feel the Holy Ghost in this church. I got my faith already set for a blowout in the Holy Ghost tonight. Blowout in the Holy Ghost. I'm bringing my running shoes. I feel like running. I feel the victory. I can sense what God's doing. I said, I can sense what God's doing. It's good. God's plans for you are not evil. They're good. He desires to bless you. He desires to help you. He desires to heal you. He desires to break you loose, set you free, set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Every hand lifted. The devil's not going to win. I like what my father's been saying. The devil's not going to write the final chapter of your life. In Jesus' name. The devil's not going to write the final chapter of your life. He's already defeated. Jesus. Jesus. Now you hear me. The blessings of God are wrapped up. Hear me. They're wrapped up in your relationship with God. Every blessing, they're poured out to the children of God. And you hear what I'm saying? Because today is a very, very important day. The Bible calls it the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow or next month. It's today. And that, you hear what I'm saying? Because this is one of the most important things of any person's life. I call it the most important thing because it's eternal. And I want you to bow your head, because you might be in the church this morning, and if Jesus were to come today, would you truly be ready to see him? Could you look him in the eye and call him Savior and Lord? Or would you be looking at a judge who was coming to look over your actions, to literally audit your life? That's the wonderful thing about coming into the kingdom. He goes from being judge to father. And there's a difference between a judge and a father, because a judge pronounces a sentence, but a father pronounces blessings. I do not want to kneel down in front of a judge. I want to kneel down in front of a father who loves me, that I can hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. So I want you to bow your heads, because if there's anybody here this morning, I guess at this point we're this afternoon, if you're here in this building and you don't know whether or not you're ready for heaven, you're not sure if you're ready for eternity, I don't want you to leave this service without knowing that you are ready. I want you to know internally by the Spirit of God that your sins are forgiven and that you're a child of the Most High God. The devil works hard to try to destroy your life, works hard to take you out. But you have to be big enough to stand up and say, I refuse to let the devil harass me or my family. I want to be able to stand up and declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm not going to lay down to the plans of the one who came to kill me. I'm standing up to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. So with your heads bowed, if there's anybody in this church this morning, and the Holy Spirit's talking to people, you say, you know what, I'm not ready. I'm not sure. If Jesus did come today, would I be ready to see him? I don't know. I know there's things in my life displeasing to God. I know there are things that are wrong that I need to be forgiven from. If that's you, I'm talking to you today. Today is the day to make all things new. If you say, preacher, I need to pray that prayer of salvation and forgiveness. Maybe there was a time you walked with the Lord and now you're not living for him like you once did. Today's the day to make all things new. Maybe you've never prayed this before and you need to know that today's your day of salvation. Right where you're standing, if you need to pray this prayer to be free, I want you to lift your hand, hold it high, and don't be ashamed. I see hands going up all over the church. Don't be ashamed. Jesus is calling you. I said he's calling you. He's calling you. This is your moment. Christians ought to be praying. Listen to me, because this is the most important part, because the Bible says, Jesus said, if you'll confess me in front of men, I'll confess you in front of the Father. But if you deny me in front of men, I'll deny you before the Father. We stand for God. We stand for Christ. We're not ashamed to serve him. I don't serve him as a camouflage Christian. I am proud to be a child of God. And listen to me very carefully. Every one of you that you raised your hand, I want you to quickly get out of your seat and come stand with me at God's altar. Come now and come quickly. We're going to pray together. Come on. Come on. Jesus is calling. Come on in. You don't have to form a line. We're just a family. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in. Come on. Those of you in the back, you lift your hands. Come on, join us. Join us. All things being made new. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? Today's your day. I'll give you just a few more moments. If you need to be at this altar, come quick. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't wait for another moment. Jesus is calling you. And today's your day. Today's your day. I want every hand to be lifted. Those of you that are here, I love you. We're going to pray this prayer, and I want you to just repeat this prayer with me. It's a prayer of salvation. I stopped calling it the sinner's prayer because it's not a sinner's prayer. It's the prayer of salvation. It's the prayer that makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I want you to repeat this with me. Say it boldly. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you today. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. Make me new. Give me the power to live for you for the rest of my life. Until I die or until you come, I confess Jesus is Lord. I believe you raised him from the dead. From this day forward, I'm a child of God. I'm not going back to the old way of living. Strengthen me to stand for you in a world that hates you. Let me be a light in the darkness and bring others into the kingdom by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's lift our hands and thank the Lord. Father, I pray for every one of these. Fill them with the power of your Spirit. Thank you for new brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Lord, you strengthen them. Lift both hands. The Lord's touching you today. Every spirit of heaviness that tried to stay on you is leaving from this day. Anxiety, depression, it has to loose its grip and let go. Joy comes in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, fill them and keep them, protect them from harm and danger. I thank you, Lord, that you're opening doors for them. Use them mightily for your glory. In Jesus' wonderful name, we love you, Lord. We give you thanks and praise. Amen. Listen, before you go back to your seat, would you do me a favor? Two things. This is Mindy Spencer here to my right, your left. Me, you may know her. We want to give you a gift, but can I give you something also? And those of you that are here, maybe you stayed over from the first service, that you prayed this prayer with us in the first service, I put out something brand new just to be a blessing to you. If you go to our website, miracleword.com, you'll see it. It's right there on the homepage. It says, I just got saved. I recorded 11 short videos. They're less than 10 minutes to explain next steps. I got inspired by Pastor Cody. talking about discipleship. I said, you know what? Now that we're on television in 180 plus nations, I said, we're not just going to make converts. We're going to make disciples. And so we've been seeing people from all these nations log on, and they're getting built up in the kingdom. It's amazing. And I did it just for you guys, absolutely free. But if you go to miracleword.com, click that button. It'll take you through the whole thing. You'll be blessed. But we want to give you something to be a blessing to you, let you know we're praying for you, standing with you. The best days are ahead, not behind. Amen? So would you just take a step right over here quickly to Miss Minnie. We're going to give you something to your left, my right, and then we're going to get back in the service. Go ahead that way if you will. Thank you so much. Put your hands together and give God praise. Now let's all lift our hands. Father, we give you thanks and praise for what you're doing today. Thank you for new brothers and sisters in the kingdom. We thank you that you are in literally increasing the kingdom daily. We thank you that people are being added to the kingdom daily. Lord, use us for your glory in a more effective and fruitful way than we ever have been. Use this church, use these believers, use us in our ministry to do more than we've ever done for you in Jesus' name. And every hand lifted, I'm going to pray that prayer of faith. We're going to speak the word in Jesus' name. Now I take authority over every attack of the devil that's tried to be launched against you and your family over this last year. I rebuke it in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I take authority over sickness and disease that's tried to lay on your body. I lose healing virtue. Come upon them today, Lord. Touch them by your power. I take authority over anxiety and depression and heaviness. I command it to loose its grip on your life. Be made whole in Jesus' name. Lose joy and peace. I take authority over every attack that's tried to destroy homes and marriages, and I command it to loose its grip and run out the back door in the mighty name of Jesus. Restoration. I pray for people that are believing for increase financially. Lord, I pray not only would you bless them, but open doors of opportunity for them in Jesus' name. I pray that promotion will come on your faithful people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and we give you glory that the devil is defeated in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, lift up a shout and give God all the glory. Glory. I feel the anointing. We're coming back at 6 o'clock. Letty, are you guys going to be able to stay or you have to go back? You're not sure yet. Well, in case you don't know, let me pray for you and your family, because in case you do have to go, I felt to pronounce a blessing on you, your father, your daughters. Come on. Lift your hands. Levanta sus manos. I loose it now, the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow. I thank you, Lord, that this year the increase of heaven will come upon Letty and her family in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. That from this day forward, doors will open so swiftly, and that the blessing of heaven will flow so forcefully. Ha, ha, ha. That people will wonder what in the world happened. What in the world happened? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray that increase would come from every direction. Increase from every direction. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We declare it, Lord. It's coming now. Coming quickly. Let him put your hands on your belly. The spirit of man is there. You're going to operate in even a greater anointing. A greater anointing in 2021. Your gifts, your talents, and your purpose are all increasing this year. Fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her in Jesus' name. Fuego de Dios in Jesus' mighty name. Cobra setia carado shandalabasto soho. Be blessed. Be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Blessed. Take a step forward. Lift your hands to the Lord. The power of God is upon your life. The attack of the devil will not prevail against you, for the devil would love to destroy you. But I stand here today as a man of God in front of you to tell you that the Lord has put his anointing upon your life, and that the power of God is going to operate in and through you, and the Lord will use you to bring other young people into the kingdom of God. And I'll tell you, the devil does not want you to know who you are in Christ, because he knows that's where the power is. But I tell you, you're a child of God, and that you are anointed, and that the devil does not have any authority or power in your life. From this day forward, I command you to get greater, greater, greater in the anointing of God. Lord, give her encounters throughout the year with the Holy Ghost. Meet up with her in her room. Let her sense the power of your presence. And I pray in Jesus' name that every lie of the enemy that's tried to be spoken over her life is broken today by the fire of God. Put your hands on your belly. That's where the spirit of man is. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come upon her today in the mighty name of Jesus. Free by the power of God. Free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Anointing of God come upon her in Jesus' mighty name. Let's lift our hands all over the house. Love you. Now, Lord, bring us all back tonight with faith and expectancy. In Jesus' mighty name. How many believe this is your greatest season of life in Jesus' name? Greatest season. Take a minute, quickly be seated. We're going to pray. We're going to give you an opportunity to sow a seed before we go. A seed of faith. I don't have to tell you what we're doing. You know, we're family. You know, I've been coming here for years. God keeps on increasing us, and it's amazing. The reach, the impact, the fruit's increasing, and you're partnering with us. We thank you. There's a lot of people in this church that stand with our ministry in partnership. We love you. We thank you. We pray for you. But now, we're going to give you this opportunity because God wants to bless every one of you financially in 2021. Every one of you. And how do we access that blessing? Through the seeds that we sow. And we always pray because the Lord has instructions for us. Can you say amen? I don't want to do what I want to do. I want to do what he's asking me to do. If we'll follow those instructions, we'll always be blessed. So would you bow your head? Father, speak to every man and every woman. Give every one of us an instruction from heaven about what we should sow in this offering today. And Lord, as we obey, we thank you that harvests are quickly coming back. We thank you that you're moving quickly in our lives because time is short and there's work to be done. So, Lord, make every one of us a pillar of generosity in the kingdom of God. Raise us up. Lord, this is my prayer for the people of his tabernacle. Raise up millionaires through the house. Raise up millionaires through the house. Raise up millionaires through the house. And let us be pillars of generosity in the kingdom of God. We thank you for that, Lord. And we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Amen. Grab an envelope if you need one in front of you there in the chair. If you're giving by check, please make it payable to the church. On the screen, you will see the ways to give. You can use the website with the give button. You can text to give. Or if you have extreme faith, you can do it by the post office. Because we just don't trust them anymore. I'm talking about me personally. They've failed me so many times before. You talk about reckless love. That's what you have to just use the post office. Yeah. Amen. It's going to be a great afternoon. Get you something to eat, get some rest, take a nap, and then we're coming back 6 p.m. And we're going to praise. We're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting here tonight. It's going to be powerful. How many are ready for what God's doing? How many believe the greatest days are ahead, not behind? Amen. When you're ready to give, stand on your feet. If you're using your phone to give, lift your phone up. If you're using an envelope, lift the envelope up. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to sow seed. As we sow it, we thank you that increase is quickly coming back. Lord, would you send angels to get our harvest and bring them back to us quickly in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let debts be canceled supernaturally. I pray mortgages would be paid off. I pray people that are believing to get houses would get houses in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray cars would be paid off. Student loans would be paid off. Let this be a year that will be debt-free and building wealth for the kingdom of God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you. If you believe it, shout amen. Do you have anything else? Good to go? See you tonight at 6 o'clock. Come on and give. You're dismissed. We love you. We'll see you tonight at 6. Come on.